Blog Talk Radio.
Sharita Furlow, Great Awakening Christian Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in here weekly, daily. We appreciate all of our listeners. And today, guess what, everybody? Woohoo! We have a special guest, and I'm excited to meet this beautiful, spirited woman of God. So we have a special show, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce our host, our guest today. Today, we have a special guest. She's hanging out with us, so I want you guys to listen in, and we're going to be talking about some important things that I know that's going to be helpful for our listeners today. She is a speaker. She is a Christian author of Free at Last, The Struggle to Be Good Enough, and Blossoms of My Life, and she also has her own radio show and ministry as well. So kudos to her. I want you guys to help me welcome Ramona Trevino, better known as I Am Dauntless, the Great Awakening Christian Radio. Are you there?
I am. How are you? God bless you.
I'm all right. How are you today?
I'm really excited. I've been waiting and praying for this interview. I'm just excited. I watch everything that you guys post on Facebook and have listened to a few things. You guys do some amazing work. We're taking over the airwaves, Sharita.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, I'm honored to talk with you. I'm a person, I can really sense people just by their picture, and you have definitely a good heart, good spirited. So thank you so much for hanging out with us and taking the time out of your busy schedule. We're going to dive on into the interview. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So tell our listeners, our listening audience, who you are and where are you from?
My name is Ramona Trevino. I write under a pen name, the letter M, Dauntless, so it sounds like I am Dauntless, and the Lord gave me that name. I'm calling from Hollister, California, which is kind of the central area, a little bit southeast of San Jose, California.
Okay. I've never been there, but I'm pretty sure. How's the weather over there?
Oh, it's beautiful right now. It's probably about 70, 75 degrees. You could probably put some shorts on right now. It's gorgeous. It hasn't been this way in a while. We've been getting a lot of rain, so it's really nice to have the sunshine today.
Oh, okay. You know, we're based out of Florida, so it's beautiful outside. So it's good to hear that. Oh, yeah, it's good to hear that you guys are not dealing with snow or anything like that. So tell us this. At what point in your life were you knew you were a Christian author? Let me say that again. At what point in your life that you knew you were a Christian author?
Well, that's a big question, because I didn't even think I was an author, let alone to be a Christian author. I guess Christian being because I know that I'm saved by grace and I know that God has a calling on my life. Being an author was something that it took a little bit for me to really absorb. There was a lot of little hints, like people would come up to me just kind of watching how my life had transpired and changed from what life used to be like to what it is now. And they would know things and they would tell me little hints like, you need to write a book. And I'd think, oh gosh, there's no way I could write a book, because school was always really hard for me. I struggled through high school and then went to college late in my life. And so I just did not want to do any more writing after my master's. And but different, when the Lord wants you to do something, he will continue to subtly let you know you need to do it until finally he really sets you in that place to do it. And what had happened was I had been praying, and so the writing the book was an answer to a prayer. I had been asking God, why did I have to go through so much just to find the peace that I had with him now? I didn't understand it. I wanted him to tell me why the rape, why the alcoholism, why the bad marriages, why did I have to go through that if I was chosen? And what he did was he finally, I had surgery. I couldn't avoid getting out of my house. I had nowhere else to go but looking at my laptop. And he said, get up and write that book. In writing the book, I sat there. I asked for the Holy Spirit. I just prayed. And literally, I sat there for about a good 36 hours. Within 36 hours, I had written everything. And realizing that the reason I had no self-worth and why I had struggled so much was that I had been molested by my grandfather at a young age.
Yes.
And so at that moment of molestation, my innocence was taken away.
My God.
And so for the rest of my life, not knowing Christ, I struggled for that identity to come back.
That's
making
right.
my own choices, making bad things, not understanding that God needed to be a part of it. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. Realizing that, so writing the book, and when it finally came out, there was a lot of things that went with that. And that's how I Am Dauntless came to be, because I now had the story that I had squashed down that I had to now put on paper. And am I going to publish it? And now people are going to know. Am I going to be able to do that, Lord? And that's where he gave me the pen name of Dauntless, because Dauntless means courageous. And he said, you didn't just sit here and cry for 36 hours and not tell no one. You're going to go out and now you're going to share the story and you're going to help other people that feel the same pain that you do. And that's where
the
writing came in.
That's good. That's good. I know you wrote your first book in 2015. Tell our listeners a little bit, dig into that right there. It's called Free at Last, The Struggle to Be Good Enough. Tell us more about that right there.
So that book, the title was Free at Last, was a paper that I had written when I was 33, my very first going back to college paper, trying to make enough money to raise my two daughters, divorced, badly hurt, just everything that you can think of. My very first class was a women's writing class, and the professor told me, we had to write an assignment that describes something that we've gotten out of. And I had gotten out of a very traumatic domestic situation, and I titled my paper Free at Last. So that was at the age of 33, and I saved that paper. And throughout life going on, because when I was, in 2015, I was 55. So for so many years, I would add to it because I would go into another relationship in the same kind of pattern. I would attract all these bad things, but it was like me looking for someone to tell me that I was good enough. And so,
yeah,
at last, the struggle to be good enough was basically I was trying to be a good wife in that situation, and it didn't happen. And then as I started writing more, I realized I was trying to be a good daughter after my innocence was taken away. I was trying to be then the good mother, then the good student, and then the good wife, and then the good employee. Everything I was striving to was being good enough. I was shameful from things that had happened, and I wasn't even good enough for God. And if you think about it, we all struggle with that daily thing of, am I good enough for Christ?
My God.
And he promises, if we can stand on his promises, he has chosen us for a calling. And so my calling was already called out into the atmosphere. I already had people praying for me that I don't even know who they are, but I know that they had
That's
to
right.
be because I should have been dead so many times. And the Lord said, I'm going to use everything that you've gone through.
True.
Beauty from ashes.
Yes.
He has definitely done that. And because I was,
Hallelujah.
I've tried to commit suicide. You name it, I went through it. And that's where Free at Last, the struggle to be good enough, is that story that someone could pick up. Because even as a Christian, we can get caught up, Sharita, into that mindset that we're not good enough in our ministry.
My God.
Or
that
we're concerned about what other people think about us. We constantly are struggling with that. And it takes us back to Adam and Eve when they were fallen in the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
And the enemy took and tricked Eve and then Adam, and they fell. And they're like, we were afraid to answer you, Lord, because we're naked. Well, who told you you were naked? My God, my son, who told you were naked? Because I did not.
Yes.
And so I had to learn to understand that people are going to make me feel inadequate in so many areas of my life.
That's
just people. We have to listen to
That's
what
right.
God tells us at all times. And sometimes it's a lonely road. Sometimes
it
it's lonely
Amen.
Because even the people that are close to us and even people of God can sometimes use their tongue and say things. Because it's not coming from the heart. It's just coming
the
from
spirit.
Society and the world view.
That's right.
And we have to listen to what God calls out on our life and hold on to the promises of God always. So that
My
we
God.
Can
now, this
always
is an interesting book. I don't
it
want
is.
To cut you off, but this is an interesting book. On chapter 2, it was called First Painful Memories. You wrote, my parents started to separate 2 or 3 times a year, not legally, but my father would tell my mother he did not want to be married and he needed a break. My mother would take us by Greyhound bus or train to her parents' home, which was about a 4-hour ride. Remember, she did not drive yet. She tried to make it a journey of sort, a vacation. Tell us a little bit about why you wrote that and your experience with this particular passage of the book.
Well, because I think that that's when the Lord started. I asked the Lord how far I should go back when he started to, pour into me about my healing. And I remembered those young, impressionable years.
That's
children
right.
have those young, impressionable years. And mine was remembering that my father was struggling to figure out how to be a good husband. He was always a good father, but he had a hard time being a good husband. And so, there lied those lies into my father. And so my mother, she would get us on the bus and take us to where my grandparents lived and our family. And she would take us over there as though it was a vacation. But little did she know that things were going on every time she thought she was going for a little trip. Things were going on when we were at their house.
Right.
And that's where the trauma started to begin. There's the trauma of your parents breaking up. That when you're a small child, that instills in you, I'm not a good child. I must have done something wrong. I thought I was supposed to bring, I thought my parents loved me and that's why I was born. But see, we don't know as a child that God is the one that formed you in your mother's womb. God is the one that's going to give you the purpose. Even as a child, your mother and father cannot fulfill that role.
That's right.
And that's where we
that's
start.
Right.
You know, it's so hard when a child is brought up in a family where neither of the parents know Christ. But,
right.
you know, we're still all called. We're still all chosen.
Yes.
And we still all have a purpose. Because even though two ungodly parents had me, God still had a calling of what I was going to be when I grew up.
Amen.
And so he had to figure out how that was going to be. Now, since then, and me coming to Christ, both of my father and my, you know, mother, now they're Christians now. I was able to lead them both to the Lord because they didn't understand and they didn't know about Christ. But even if you have one Christian family, you know, a mother and then the father's not, there's going to always be that brokenness that child sees. And they
Amen.
Will carry that brokenness. It's almost like, you know, you hear about the generational curses that happen. I
yes.
carried that into my family. And so now, even right now in my family, I have to really be praying for my daughters and their husbands and my grandkids
Amen.
Because I don't want to carry that mess into there. And praise God,
That's
my
right.
life is different now. It's changed. So I could speak
Amen.
Life into them. If it wasn't, they'd still be seeing that curse.
That's right.
And so, yes, those impressionable years, I had to write about them because I know, because people have read my book and they've said, your life is somewhat what my life was like, especially my age
Amen.
Era.
Yes.
They've gone through those periods, especially if they were brought up in a non-Christian home.
Amen.
So that's where
that's
that
good.
Chapter came from, Sherita.
That's good. Tell us more about PTSD and how did it inspire you to write?
Well, you know, I didn't realize that I had PTSD, and what that stands for is post-traumatic stress syndrome, and it's a diagnosis
yeah.
that a psychiatrist or psychologist would give someone if they had to seek mental health, you know. And so, you know, around that time in my 30s and things, and I had already tried to commit suicide a few times, and I was deep into alcohol and everything else that could go along with that, and I needed help. And my mental health was not well. And so I started seeking counseling, outside counseling, until I could
yeah,
finally
good.
Get someone that could sit and listen that I could cry to and say, like, I need
That's
help
right.
with this. And so, and there's nothing wrong with you to seek professional help. You need to
That's
find
right.
the right kind of person. I found someone
Amen.
That, even though I wasn't walking with Christ at that time, I found someone that had godly advice, which was good. And
That's
so
right. That's
they're
good.
The ones that started to peel that apart. And they're the ones that told me, well, you know, when someone would open up a beer can, Sherita, my body
mm-hmm.
would cringe. Because
My
right
God.
Away I thought of a beer can being open. And so I would like
yeah.
jump because I thought, okay, with that beer is going to come loud yelling. It's going to come screaming, shouting. Things are going to start being thrown. And so that is sense of PTSD. Or maybe somebody saying, that's it, I'm leaving. I don't want to ever be a part of your life. Well, then I'm
yeah.
being triggered with abandonment. Because my father left
mm-hmm.
me back and forth as a young age. So those are all signs of PTSD.
Oh, okay. That's good information for our listeners. Now, tell us more about
yes.
your second book called Blossoms
oh.
of My Life. How did that book, how was it birthed?
That one was exciting. So after my first book and then having fun with, you know, my daughters were like, at first I had to tell them, you know, that the first book was coming out. And I'm like, are you
yeah.
ready? Because people are going to know our story. Their names are changed. And I use a fictional character named Emily. And so, you know, that's where, you know, finally now they know I have book signings and everything. So they know, Mom,
yeah.
they're going to know it's you. You're dauntless. And I know that. So then I realized, you know, if I have one book in me, now I'm an author. Now I'm a Christian
yeah.
author, right?
Amen.
So I am blessed that throughout my troubled years, you know, I started teaching when I was, I've been teaching 19 years. And
That's
I'm
good.
A special needs
That's
teacher. And I know that those teaching years have very much impressed my life. They've been impressionable years. I know it's my ministry that God's blessed me with because I have a caring heart for my families,
Amen.
For the students. I work with the most severe students that have no voice, that have no,
right.
they're in wheelchairs, they need to be changed. And most people can't do that kind of a job. So it takes a special
Amen.
Person. So I knew I was blessed that I had been a teacher for that, you know, in that area. And so when I got credentialed and working, and then I thought, you know what, Lord, I would like to somehow highlight my career, somehow talk about what you've done in my life, because just they're all important people, but I didn't know how and what I was going to call it. So I knew I had some really close families that I had worked with, and I just didn't have a title yet. So one day I was out at my friend's, and she was doing some photo shoots, and she took the picture, which is the cover to my book, and it's just beautiful. It's me sitting under a blossom tree. She had taken these photos. I told her I didn't have a title yet, that I was praying for this title, and her name is Alana. And so Alana woke me up early the next morning and said, I think I have a picture that I want you to look at. I couldn't sleep last night.
Right.
I said, okay, well, let me take a look. So she showed it to me, and immediately the Holy Spirit, I mean, I just like down in tears, and I said, Alana, that is going to be the cover to my book. I now have a title. She said, what's the title? I said, Blossoms of My Life.
That's good.
So I got so excited. I started looking up what blossoms mean. Blossoms are rejuvenation. Blossoms are new life. Blossoms come and go. Blossoms are continuously on your trees. You know, it's like they're all around us. And the Lord started to reveal to me how he had provided all of these blossoms in my life to encourage me and to build me up and to just instill in me how great of a teacher I had been all these years with because of him. And that's where the radio show came in, because then the radio station locally said, you know, we want you to have your own show. And I was like, I don't even know what to do. Yeah. I've never been a radio host. And he said, call it Blossoms of My Life. And I started thinking about it. Well, that makes sense, because I could call other people who are going to be blossoms of my life, and they also have blossoms of their life. So it just speaks life and the rejuvenation of everything coming back in your life. And that's where that book came. So it's nine families that tell their story of having a child from birth until now, and some of those children are in their 30s. And the parents wrote their story. So they're my co-authors.
That's good. That's good. Now, all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. And so congratulations to you on your radio ministry. That is so awesome. Now, let me ask you this. Yeah. Does your family support you in your journey to share your testimony?
Yes. Yes, at first is kind of scary for them, and I don't blame them. Like, there's my mom. She's standing up in front of me, and she's talking about all these horrific things that happened. At first, it was difficult for them, maybe a little bit of shame, you know. But I think as they started to realize that other people were coming up to me, like, thank you so much for sharing your story. The same thing happened to me. They start realizing it's not just mom. You know, and their walk is different than my walk, of course. I'm at a whole nother level with my relationship with Christ, but it's not an issue now. They understand that I'm on this radio show and that I'm going to be talking about things that might make other people feel uncomfortable, but it's important that you're as transparent as you can. God can't heal you, Sharita, if you can't be transparent.
That's right. Amen.
You have to reveal what needs to come out, and he will bring it to surface so that you can reveal. And it doesn't mean you go around and tell everybody, oh, yeah, that happened to me. I did this. Oh, I remember those days. It's not glorifying what you did. It's looking at it and saying, you know what? This is what God healed me from. I'm no longer a slave to that shame.
That's right.
You move forward in it.
That's good. That's good. Now, what would you say to those, and we're running out of time, but I want you to tell us a little bit about, just give us some encouragement remarks, whatever the Lord put on your heart, to those who are dealing with PTSD.
You know, that's a difficult one, because they might not even realize that they're suffering from it. But, you know, I would say what I would say, especially if you're a Christian and, you know, you want to make sure that you ask the Lord to reveal things to you. If you start realizing like certain patterns in your life, you're constantly drawn to the wrong people. You're constantly getting in the same financial struggle. You're constantly repeating things that you know are not the right thing to do. you might want to talk to someone and ask them about PTSD to make sure that there aren't things that you need to start dealing with so that you can overcome those things. I hope that makes sense.
That's good. That's good. Absolutely. Absolutely. I heard that term before.
To see a counselor. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I heard that term before. You really broke that thing down today. I want to ask you this before we head out of here. What will your next book be about? What are you planning to do?
Yeah, I've got two books. One's going to be about I'm going to be writing about some testimonies of some experiences of the Holy Spirit in our church and the move of God and how He's been moving.
That's good.
Powerful words from God, some prophetic words. And then the other one is I'm writing a biography for a pastor out of San Francisco that the Lord is having me help him write his biography.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Now, how can we book you for events, and where can we go to purchase your books?
My books are available on my website. So it's www.dauntless.org. And you can email me and contact me. I'm also on Facebook under Ramona, R-A-M-O-N-A, last name Trevino, T-R-E-V-I-N-O.
Okay. We enjoy having you. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
I know.
We enjoyed your presence. Your spirit is so humble. And I just enjoyed this connection. And you welcome back anytime. You welcome back anytime. So thank all of you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate all of you. Don't forget to tune in weekly here at gabradio.org. Call in. You can listen by phone, 641-793-9495, www.gabradio.org.